Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again today with another online lesson for our online Conquerors Sunday School class. Today, we will be in lesson number 7 in the series entitled Assurance, Launchpad for Righteous Living. Lesson 7 is entitled When He Shall Appear, and we'll be in the book of 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 28, and we'll be going down to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 3. This lesson is for Sunday, March the 7th, 2021. Now, let me remind you of something that we started last Sunday, and I want to encourage you again to let folks know that may not have access to the internet. They don't have access to listen to these lessons online, and what we wanted to do is to be able to encourage them and strengthen them. So God has enabled us to have the Conqueror's Dial-A-Lesson phone line ministry. You can call the number at area code 443-241-6746. Again, that number is area code 443-241-6746. You can call it any time of the day or night. It's no charge for it. You can call from a home phone or from a mobile phone. If you're driving down to work and you have a good long drive, then you can listen as you drive to the lessons right here through this new telephone ministry, the Conqueror's Dollar Lesson phone line ministry. So I hope it will be a blessing to you today, all right? If you are listening to this lesson through our internet website, I want you today to pull up the outline that is there on the page, and you can follow along with us today as we go through this lesson, and I trust that it will be a great help and encouragement to you today. Today's lesson theme verse is found in this passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. And here's what the Bible said. The Bible said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." If I could sum up the lesson today with one simple question, I would ask you this. What will you be doing when Jesus comes again? What will you be doing when Jesus comes again? You know, for the child of God, it is an exciting thing to think about the soon appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be rid of all sorrow and pain, to be lifted from this present evil world and placed into the presence of our holy and righteous God. Oh man, what a day that will surely be. But like the Apostle John wrote here in our lesson text today, even so the Apostle Peter wrote these words in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1 and going down through verse number 12. He wrote, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking about in their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Folks, the world cares nothing about that coming day of our Lord's soon appearing, but you and I should care. You and I, as truly born again, blood-bought children of God, should understand that our Lord's appearing could take place at any time and on any day. And this fact should, in its own self, motivate each of us to be ready for His imminent return, when we shall not only be taken out of this present sinful world, but we shall be changed to be like Him, and we shall then stand before Him and give account unto Him regarding those things that He had both saved and commanded us to do as His dear children while living upon this earth. Conquerors Class, does this not motivate you to want to live a pure and godly life for the Lord, even while we're living in such a wicked and perverse world today? Listen, in our lesson today, John will remind us, as Christians, exactly why we should be motivated to live righteously and holily for the Lord as we anticipate our Lord soon appearing. And my prayer is that each of us will take note of this concern for those who call themselves Christians and for how we ought to determine in our hearts that nothing is going to stop us from living for God and from standing true to His Word, and from telling others about God's great gift of salvation given to all men as we anticipate one day standing before Him when He shall appear. Now let's take a look at this wonderful lesson from God's Word today. It's entitled, When He Shall Appear. Child of God, now, I want you to understand, now is the only time that you and I have available to us to lovingly live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, before others so that they might come to know Him and be saved. You see, the false teachers of this old world, they want to cause us to be ashamed and even to deny our love for God. But folks, John here in these verses, he reminds us of how we need to serve the Lord now so that we might have confidence at Christ's appearing. That's point number one, confidence at Christ's appearing. Now, look at 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 28 and 29. Read those two verses along with me as I read them to you. All right, here we go. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now that word confidence, it literally means the quality or state of being certain, a relation of trust or intimacy. Confidence, my friend, is that proof, that evidence of a thing, that it is so, and of things that are true. But let me ask you, how can we, as Christians, have confidence today that we will stand unashamedly in the presence of our Lord when He appears? Well, John explains this today in this lesson, and I want you to see this, all right? First of all, it is essential that you and I, as born-again Christians, have a desire for continuing in Christ. That's part A, continuing in Christ. Look at what he said here in verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If we choose to abide in Christ and in His Word, this continuing in Christ will indeed generate a loving and a grateful attitude of obedience unto Christ, that we might truly have confidence when Christ appears. Our knowledge of truth is one thing, but our loving obedience to the truth is quite another thing. And for each of us to avoid the tragedy of slipping into sin and compromise, we must determine in our hearts that we're going to continue to abide in God's word and to love and to serve him. What greater motivation should a child of God, a born-again child of God, need to have than to know that one day we shall indeed stand before the very one who has saved us and who has commanded us to abide in him. Jesus himself reminded his disciples in the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And then in John chapter 14, verse 15, he told those very same disciples, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Let me read that one more time. "If you love me, keep my commandments. Therefore, our love for the Lord is indeed a determining factor as to our faithful continuance in his word and our abiding in him." You know, the truth is, I believe there are going to be a lot of born-again believers who are going to stand before the Lord utterly ashamed when they stand before the one who has saved them, and they are required to give account unto God for their service unto him since they have been saved. One thing's for certain, and that fact being, we shall all stand before the Lord God one day. There's no one that's going to get out of that. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us over in the book of Romans, chapter number 14, verse number 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Paul goes on to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Let me ask you today, dear child of God, how do you really want to stand before the Lord when he returns here to earth one day? Hey, listen, we need to continue in Christ. But in order to do that, we also need to be found continuing in Christ-likeness. Now look at this with me here. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we saw that a person's view of Jesus Christ would indeed affect their view of Christ's return, did we not? But now, John goes on to tell his readers here in verse number 29, he said, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." In other words, what we believe Jesus to be, we too should desire to be holy and righteous in all our manner of conversation and business, knowing what God says in his word, but also performing what we know we ought to be doing. This is true Christ-likeness. Anyone can claim to be a Christian, but honey, the proof is in the pudding. And all we will see in these later lessons, we're going to see how that John writes, even here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, he said there, "If a man say," now listen to what he's saying, "if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, he said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." We must be willing to practice and to put into action what we say we believe and what we preach with our mouths. This is the standard, the benchmark, the yardstick by which God measures our reason of performance and our love for him in our performance for him. God's standard for his children is based upon his holiness, not ours. It's based upon his holiness and his righteousness. And although we can never attain our Lord's righteous and holy level of being, you and I can still be found desiring and pressing on toward the mark of our Lord's high calling through our continuing in Christ's likeness each and every day. The false teachers of this old world and the unsaved theologians of our day, they deny and they reject the divine holiness and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are never willing or able to give Christ the honor and the glory that he truly deserves in what they say they believe and teach. But you and I, as truly born-again children of God, we should desire in all that we do to bring honor and glory unto the one who has so loved us and who has given us the opportunity to become his dear children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, that is our duty and that is our responsibility. John here, he had taught these dear brothers and sisters in Christ the truth of God's word. And John knew that they truly believed what they had been taught. But in the light of continual persecution and false teaching by those wicked unbelievers around them, and in the light of the many temptations they were experiencing to compromise and to forsake the truths that they had been taught about Jesus by those false teachers around them, John now begged them, and he so delicately and lovingly urged them to fully devote themselves to righteous and holy living, not in order that they might be saved, but as the proof and the evidence to those around them that they were indeed saved and had been spiritually birthed into the family of God, because as we see in the latter part of verse number 29, John had taught them, and they knew without a doubt that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him, is born of Christ. You see, it's not by works of outward righteousness that we're now saved, but rather it was by their loving and their grateful works of righteousness that would become the proof that they truly are saved. Now, folks, the Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Many of you can quote this verse by memory. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And because we have been birthed into the family of God as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we are therefore to be a reflection of our Heavenly Father in our spirit and in our actions, even as a newborn babe reflects and resembles its parents in the flesh. The Apostle John writes over in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, he said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And he's reminding those early church believers that they were no longer controlled by the world or by their former taskmaster, Satan, but they were now saved. They're part of the family of God. They are indwelled by the precious and Holy Spirit of God, and therefore they were to be different from the world and to become more like Christ. Now, we cannot do this in our own power, folks, but here John reminds these readers that through their new birth and through their new relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, they were no longer of the world, but they were now of God, as he wrote, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that we are his, and honey, he is ours. And we're no longer controlled by the powers of darkness, because we're now walking and continuing in the light. We now, as God's dear children, we each have a personal responsibility to live for Christ in the power of his might and not our own. We're to walk as Christ would have us to walk. We're to talk as Christ would have us to talk. We're to be the light of this dark world of sin, reflecting the light of God's truth and righteousness, even as the moon in the cold black darkness of space reflects the light of that unseen sun which cannot be seen in the night. And folks, obedience unto God is not an option for the truly born again child of God, but rather it's a privilege. It's a commitment to the one who has saved us. It is a joy for us to serve and to obey the Lord God, even as the Bible says that it was a joy in the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ to do for us what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews, chapter number 12. And I want you to look there with me, if you would, to verses 1, 2, and 3. And this is what the Bible said. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, let me stop right there and ask you a question. How do we do this? How do we run this race that God has set before us with patience? How do we lay aside all the sin that's so easily besetting us? How do we continue to lay aside those past sins and all the present temptations that so easily beset us and cause us to live more like the world than we live for the one who has saved us? How do we run the race that God has set before us in such a way that others can see and know that we truly have been born again, and so that we might be ready to face the Lord one day when he shall one day appear and take us home to be with him? The writer of the book of Hebrews goes on in this passage, beginning here in verse number 2, and he tells us how we can do it. Look at what he said. He said, looking unto Jesus. Hey, don't look to the preacher. Don't look to the Sunday school teacher. Don't look to your neighbor or your friends or your spouse, but look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How do we do it, folks? Keep your eyes on Jesus, dear child of God. Keep your eyes not on the things of the world, not on the things of this old temptatious world that we live in, but upon the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Honey, keep your eyes upon the one who, for the joy that was set before him upon that old rugged cross, he endured all the suffering, all the pain, all the shame, so that you and I might be saved. Keep your eyes on him. And listen, if the devil tries to tell you that it's just not worth it to trust Jesus or to keep your eyes on Jesus, or if he tries to tell you that those around you will mock you and make fun of you if you try to serve the Lord, they'll call you legalistic for wanting to continue to live a holy and righteous life for Jesus, then you just do what the writer of the book of Hebrews said here in verse number 3. And you just consider all that Jesus went through so that you could be saved. Listen to what he said. He said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what he's saying here? If Jesus did this for you, then you can stay faithful through him. Amen. Oh, dear child of God, it's worth it all to live for Jesus and to continue in Christ's likeness, not only because of all that Jesus has done for you, but also because of your grateful love and your commitment unto him. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our commitment today. It's worth it all while living here in this old sinful world, but it will truly be worth it all when we stand before him one day in heaven as well. And you know, as the day approaches, when he shall come again to take us home to be with him, there needs to be, point number two, commitment because of Christ's soon appearing. There needs to be commitment because of Christ's soon appearing. Because of what Christ has done for you and for me, we owe the Lord. Now listen to me. We owe the Lord our total commitment in all that we do while living here upon this earth. Let's look now at 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to consider some things today. Number one, I want you to consider what God has done for us. Look at it here with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, as the Apostle John writes to those folks that he so dearly loved, he said, listen, folks, I want you to listen to me. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Never forget, folks, what God has done for you. Here in this chapter, John sort of changes his focus. His focus was challenging his readers to abide in the Word of God and to commit themselves unto the Lord. But now he changes that to the point that he wants them to remember why they ought to be committed unto the Lord. And child of God, you need to remember why you should be committed unto the Lord and why you should live holy and righteous lives before him. Look at it here with me this morning and just consider what John is telling us in this verse, would you? First, he writes that we may never forget what God did for us by stating, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, he said, set your eyes upon this fact. Just think about what great love God not only had for you and for me because we before we were ever saved, but consider what great love it truly is that God the Father has made available to each of us today. Think about it, folks. God's word reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all, A-L-L, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, the prophet wrote, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, our good deeds is what he's saying, our good works, they're as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The Apostle Paul went on to write in Romans chapter 6 that we were without strength to save ourselves. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, he reminded us that because of our sin, we were actually the enemies of God. But oh, thank God that the story does not end there. For as we read in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, Paul wrote, he said, but God, oh, thank God for that. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus himself stated, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Think about it, folks. What great love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And why? It was so that we should be called the sons of God. That was God's desire, folks, not yours, not mine, but rather it was God's desire to set forth and to prove his love for us. Even though we were forever lost in our sin and we deserved eternal separation from holy God in that awful place that had been prepared for the devil and his fallen angels called hell. Behold, he said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. But then secondly, I want you to see here how that John wrote so that there would be a new and definite distinction between the children of God and the children of this old world and its master, Satan. Look at the last part of 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 with me this morning. Look at what it said. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You see, the world may not choose to accept God's truth, or even what God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for them so that they might know him and be saved, let alone our faithful witness. They don't want to accept that. They don't want to know anything about our faithful witness for the Lord to them from day to day. But one thing's for sure. They cannot deny the difference that Christ Jesus has made in the hearts and the lives of those who do accept him as their Savior and who are truly born again. And because the world does not know him and they refuse to accept him, they will do the same thing to you and to me who choose to live for God and to be faithful witnesses unto those who need to know him as their Savior. If they rejected Jesus, they'll reject you as well. I want you to think back just a moment of what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to read this to you this morning, and listen to what Jesus told his disciples. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, as Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, he said this. He said, Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, no one wants to be rejected by someone that they love and that they desire to show their love for. But child of God, you and I are going to have to make a choice. We've got to choose between compromising truth for the companionship of lost friends or standing for truth, even if it means sacrificing those friendships with those who are lost in this world. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. I want you to turn there or mark these verses in your Bible. But in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 24 and going down through verse 33, Jesus said this. He said, here are the facts, folks. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a promise from our Savior. Listen, folks, if God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son for someone so undeserving of his love as you and me, then, child of God, we can rest assured that that same God who gave his love for you and for me in the form of his own dear Son upon the cross of Calvary, and he so loved you in order that you might be saved and birthed into his family for all eternity. If that God so loved you, then just think of how much he loves you now. Now that you're saved, and now that you belong to him, and all of his promises that he has given to provide for you your every need according to his great riches in heaven are still intact. Amen? Isn't that great? Wow! What a blessing it is to consider all that God has done for us today, dear child of God. My goodness. But the choice is yours. And the choice is mine as to what we will do with that great love today. Did you know that? A truly born-again child of God cannot serve two masters. Even as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where he said, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I love the words of that old song. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Never forget, dear child of God, what the Lord God has done for you. But then in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, John also wants us never to forget what God will do for us. What God will do for us. Look at what John said to these dear believers in verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God has not only promised to take care of our every need here in the present, but he has also promised to supply our every need in the future, day by day as well. God, our Heavenly Father, has a plan. And that plan is for each of his dear children. Even as most of our earthly parents had a plan for us when we were born into their earthly family, so our God has a plan for us. And we can see that here in verse number 2. Look at what John writes. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is a fact that we will never change. But then he goes on to say, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't know what the future holds, but bless God, we know who holds the future. And then he goes on to say, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And there he is saying, he's meaning that we have a blessed hope. Amen. And there is so much more to God's plan than just simply this present life on planet Earth. And one day, Jesus is coming back again, and he will take us home to be with him, where he will provide a new body for us. Oh, won't that be a great thing? One that never hungers and never thirsts. It never gets tempted by the evil things of this old world. It never gets sick. It never dies, but rather a body like his, glorified, fully sanctified. Amen? And according to this verse, we shall be like him. Oh, what a day that's going to be. But honey, it doesn't stop there either. For that verse goes on to say, for we shall see him as he is. Folks, I have never seen the blessed face of my dear Savior. But one day I will, and I shall see him in the beauty and in the splendor and in the glory of all that he is as the almighty creator of this world and of this universe and as the blessed Savior of all mankind. Oh, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And honey, one day, you and I, as God's little children, are going to see him the same way. The Apostle John wrote in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9, he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And honey, one day, you and I, dear child of God, one day you and I are going to see that great I am face to face. And we're going to see him as he is, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King Jesus in all his glory. For as John writes here in the latter part of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, for we shall see him as he is. And God is going to do for us on that day what you and I, as born-again children of God, have only dreamed of for so long. To see our Savior face to face and to stand in his glory and his grace. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And John writes in these first two verses of 1 John chapter 3, how that we don't know or understand all that God has planned for us or all he is going to do for us in the future. But as he writes here in this verse, he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One day, dear child of God, we shall see him as he is. And one day, when he shall indeed appear and take us home to be with him, we too shall be like him. But then lastly, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, John tells these dear believers never to forget what we must do. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, John writes these words of strength and exhortation. And he says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. After describing unto them all that the Lord God had done for them in the past, as well as what God plans to do for them in the future, he lovingly reminds them of what they need to do in the present while still living upon planet Earth. And you know, we need to have a hope in Jesus. We need to know that he's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has promised to keep us. And he's the one that's coming to get us one day. We need to all hope in Christ so that that hope can purify us as we live for Him and as we serve Him each and every day. And we need to desire and to determine to remain pure in our testimony and pure in our lifestyle and pure in our witness so that we might help others to see their need to accept God's great gift of love and of salvation before it is eternally too late. There needs to be an attitude of gratitude in our lives, dear child of God, each and every day. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, these words that I want to close out our lesson with today. Here's what he said. He said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now let me ask you today as we close this lesson, how you and I, as truly born-again Christians and truly born-again children of God, how we choose to live out our lives upon this earth, shouldn't it be weighed out very carefully each and every day of our lives? Don't get your eyes set on the things of this old world, child of God, so that Satan takes that opportunity to draw you away from being all that God has saved you to do. But rather, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this old earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What will you be doing? And how will you be living, dear child of God, when Jesus comes back again? Will you be found faithful? Oh, that we might determine, even as John stated in our lesson's theme verse today, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Child of God, Conqueror's Class member, let's choose to live for Jesus as if today was the day that we might see Him and He might appear coming out of heaven to come and get us and we stand before Him. And then perhaps you're listening to this lesson today. You're listening to the sound of my voice and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. What if Jesus were to return today and you were not ready for that return? Oh, what a tragic thought to spend eternity separated from the very God who gave His only begotten Son to save you from your sin. Please, please, my friend, don't turn Him away today. Fall on your knees right where you are. Stop doing whatever you're doing. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road, bow your head, and call upon the Lord today, and pray to Him something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve to pay the debt for my sin and be separated from You forever in hell. But dear God, I don't want to die and go to hell. I do believe what the Bible says, that You love me, and that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die upon the cross for me, and that He was buried to take my sins away, and that He arose again to give me everlasting life. Please, dear God, come in my heart, forgive me my sin, and save me today so that I can go to heaven and be with You one day. Thank You, dear God, for hearing my prayer and for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray." And my friend, if you will pray that simple prayer from a humble heart, God will indeed save you. Dear Father, God, I love You today, and I thank You for the privilege to be able to teach this class from week to week. I thank You, dear God, for reaching down one day further than I could ever reach up and for saving my unworthy soul. And God, I pray, Lord, today that this lesson would be a help to those Christians that are listening. Help them, Lord, today to determine in their heart they're going to live holy and righteously for You. Because one day You are coming again. And one day we will stand before You. And God, we need to stand before You unashamed of how we've lived for you and how we've served you here upon this earth. And Lord, if there be someone today that's lost and they're listening to the sound of my voice, help them, Lord, to see their need to be saved today. Draw them unto yourself and help them, God, to be willing to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved today. And God will thank you for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining me today for the Conqueror Sunday School class lesson online. If you're listening by phone, take that number and share it with someone else so that they might listen too. God bless you, and we look forward to teaching the lesson next week, and I hope that you'll join us then. God bless.